Psalm 43, verse 5. Well, let's wait a while before we get there. This psalm is part of two psalms, 42nd and 43rd. A lot of people think that they were originally just one, because they are a continuation of the same state of mind. Unlike a lot of psalms, this one we can't identify when it was written, which means it was probably a daily refrain in all kinds of conditions and circumstances. Let me show you what leads up to the text. Look at verse 3, Psalm 42. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He ain't doing much for you today, is he? While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Beats me. I ain't seen him lately either. My tears have been my meat day and night. Now, it's bad enough for me to know God ain't around. Why does he have to make it so obvious to those that gloat about it? While they continually, that's the part of the hate, continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Now, he's reflecting on past success in God and past blessing. Now, if you'd never gone with the multitude and kept the holy day into the house of God, then your circumstance of being denied that blessing not only wouldn't make you cry so much, but it wouldn't give occasion to they, that bunch, to continually say, where's your God? Remember when I told you? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And when faith becomes fact, there's no longer hope, no longer any object of faith. It is now fact. And that's where you backslide. In the victory of that accomplishment, the upward struggle relaxes, and we revel sitting on the chair of accomplished fact, and faith's connection is broken. So as God did with Elijah, who took him to the brook and had the ravens fly there, after a while the brook dries up. Why? Remember, I've taught you a dozen times what F.B. Meyer said. God teaches Elijah to trust the giver of the gift, not the gifts. Put your trust in the giver. You say, I heard that 1,000 times. Big deal. I've taught it 1,000 times. And I forget it. Trust the giver, not the gift. This fellow is cast down because when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Oh, the pain of spiritual setbacks. What are we going to do about it? Well, my tears had been my meat. Cry about it. Then he says in the fifth verse after that squalling event, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Came to church on Sunday, first Sunday of the year. Cast down, crying within, I paid tithes and worse off never was. I never believed him when he said, cheer up, saints, it's going to get worse, but it has. I'm ready to quit. But, you know, something about Sunday morning, I get in that mood to go listen to him yell at us. So I went, and he preached a sermon, and it got to me. I came out of church saying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? It lasted almost all the way home. Now follow me. Fifth verse, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. That's about 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. 7 p.m. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Sounds good, but I don't know what the hell it means. It means that there is a side to me that is God's nature in me still crying out, but I ain't getting anywhere. I'm not getting anywhere. Monday morning. Oh, thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Then he turns on Monday night festival, listens to the truth. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the impression of the enemy? Where went? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. 2 days have gone by, and nothing's changed. Have you figured out this is a message you got to travel along with me in? Good. Most of you are already there. From praise to depression, 10th verse. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why does he let this happen to us? Doesn't he know his reputation is at stake? And he says it a second time. Sunday's come again. Second Sunday of January. He comes in Saturday night. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? It's always that way on Saturday night. No wonder I arrive on Sunday morning in such a mood. And lo and behold, the Word of God does it to me again. And I go out at 1 o'clock. Ready for everything because I'm back on track, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. 3 o'clock. Verse 1 of the next psalm, that, as I said, most scholars agree, is but a continuation. 3 o'clock. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Monday morning now. Why dost thou cast me off? It sounded so good when Scott was saying it there in King's House 1. Here I am on Monday, facing all of this and no God to help me. Come on, fess up. Why do you think the Psalms are so wonderful? They speak right out of the bone marrow of all of us. Has it been your history? Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. Simple question, simple answer. Because way down deep, I don't really mean all that I've been saying every Sunday. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I'm just waiting for the help of his countenance. He'll make me praise him. No, he won't. Now, this comes out of the sayings in the temple. And those centuries ago, they were just like most Christians. They'd go to the temple and try on a tabernacle or the place at Shiloh, depending upon the timing, and set on their spiritual gear. And they'd sing, "He set me free," all the time, ready to walk out in bondage. There's something about religion, like cassette players. We come to church on Sunday, in goes the spiritual mind, the cassette player. And you can sit right there with half your mind saying, "They're going to give it to me tomorrow, and I'm going to die, and I know they're going to put me in bankruptcy, and the IRS will catch me tomorrow. The process server will be on my doorstep when I get home." Just your body showed up. The point of this message is one of my shortest on record. The point of this message is, he said the same thing three times. We haven't got to the third one yet. First Sunday, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Next Sunday, here I go again. Verse 11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who has helped my countenance, my God." As soon as I go out the door, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against the ungodly nation. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression?" Because of that stupid frame of mind that still thinks, in spite of 12 years of preaching by this pastor, that God will deliver us first and then we'll believe. If God is the health of my countenance, and if God gives me reason to praise him, then I will praise God for the help of his countenance. And no matter how much I beat on our eardrums, and how often I preach from every section of God's book, the same truth over and over again, we still live in that stupid frame. Things eventually will change because God will come and change it. Then I'll praise him. That's why you get up for a moment and you say, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Then we're still sitting over on the other side of Jordan, barred from access to the temple, in the biblical frame, remembering the good things that God did, feeling sorry for ourselves because we've left the mountain and are back in the valley. So we go to second Sunday, as I said, verse 11, and then right back into the doldrums again. "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into the holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of God. Unto God my exceeding joy, yes, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. No. Ain't going to happen that way. And then the fifth verse. Third time's the charm. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And you notice, no complaint follows. Third time's a charm. Now, I've been emphasizing the fact that you can say that in lip service only and not even get yourself out of your circumstance. But there's another truth to it. You can very honestly be lifted up, as some of you are when you come here to your Mayanaeum and hear the truth of God's Word, but by 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the next morning, the circumstance is still there, beat you down. To those, the message is, keep starting over. That's another one of the messages of these Psalms. The man after God's own heart, David, look what won out. The upward look, not the downward look. Fault him, if you will, identify with him as I do. And how many times we'll get up and say, I'll rise above this circumstance, look into that source of truth which is eternal, stretch my hand up through the fog of pressure and circumstance that crushes, grab God's hand, start over and say, I will praise my God, the health of my countenance. And then, boom, I get knocked on my face. The message of this psalm is, and that's why God put it in. What are you supposed to do about it? Satan would then make you mourn more deeply because you let go. You notice how sharp the shift of gears is? There ain't even nothing neutral. Just, I mean, it's a drag racer spirituality. At least he has the ability, and as the glass can be half empty or half full, he not only has that ability to say, I will praise my God. Oh, woe is me. One fell swoop, he can gear down. But the other side of the coin is, woe is me. I will praise my God. He can gear up, man. Now, I try to teach practical Christianity. The rest of these guys teach that voodoo Christianity. It makes you... somewhere out here is a something that who's it up there? And when I get it, I won't have these ups and downs anymore. I'll be one of these. They call David a man after God's own heart. He had that ability to grab his soul, whatever it is, but that inward foci of the self that has the ability to grab the rest of your person and beat it to death because the circumstances are so bad. Now, taking the frame of this verse, the soul, whatever it is, and I just as soon call it a functional foci of self in this verse. That ability that we have for the I, which is me, to view everything around me and then say to the rest of me, woe is me. And the rest of me says, ah, so why art thou forsaken me then? And God's sitting up there saying, what did I do? As the soul accuses me of being neglected by God because these things are pressing in. David had the ability to find a foci of a higher self who could be the boss. One of another phrase might be the image of God in it. And take himself and sit there and address the soul who's been addressing me and say, look, Buster, why art thou cast down? God and his word haven't changed. And you've got 12 years of it hammered into you. Now look, soul, shut your mouth. And listen to me. I'm not even up to God yet. Just another part of me that can say, hey, I will not be sucked into your self-serving crybaby and vortex, faithless meandering. There is this side of me that is that wonderful possession of the call that can reach up through the mist of this internal arguing about the circumstance and what they are going to say about my God's attention to me and say, look, you will not rule. I, the one that has the ability to see past the stuff to God's word, and I'm going to say, I'm going to take charge. Now, it's sort of like a football game, back and forth. But the reason David's a man after God's own heart, and he lost a couple of rounds. That's the point of it. You can lose a few rounds, but don't stop getting up off the canvas, doing it again. And the third time was the charm. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Well, cause I see all these things threatening the rest of me. And I see they are threatening you, God. So over here, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? No change in circumstance even suggested an order to the self. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now I could preach for the next 7 days nonstop every message I've preached since I've been here. The Lord will not tempt you beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. How many of you remember, the Greek has it, as particular and individual as your temptation, already worked out the individual escape. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. How many times you heard me say when you get up in the morning, if you really feel like you could whip a nation, look out. Bulldozers from Satan are going to arrive. Because God measures the strength out for your day. As thy day, not your neighbor's day, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. I am so happy today, but I got a feeling so miserable. There ain't much the devil's going to do to me today. I got the wonderful reprieve of not feeling too good. You follow that? I could preach all the messages of 12 years right here. Because what these verses are saying is God is not going to act. If God acts, then you'll have faith. But this psalmist, man after God's own heart, finally gets to it. One, two, gets knocked back down the first time, knocked back down the second time, and finally the third time, he is back in the groove of faith. whether anything changes or not, whether any circumstance dissolves in front of me or not, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. He's bigger than the circumstance. Well, but I remember when I was on this Victory Mountain and I'm sitting over here in Jordan. Well, he built the mountain, friend. And if he hadn't pulled you off that one, you might have thought that was heaven. How many of you know that God's in control? Oh, but, my tears have been my neat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? The sister of Lazarus. Why did you wait so long? My brother's been dead so long he stinketh. I really sympathize with that girl. God delayed his coming so many times until the stench is about to kill me. You copy me? God is in control. And as we go into 1988, I want a new beginning of faith. 8 is the number of new beginning. 2, the number of the adequate witness. Start over in faith. Oh, but my tears. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Because I've been carrying this dialogue on with myself that looks at the circumstances instead of looking to God. Only you have the capacity to do it. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, if you try it and fall, just keep trying it. Eventually, you'll get to that point. But that will be the last word on your circumstance, not the circumstance itself. Which is another way of saying, we made it through 1988.